Welcome to the sixth Oxford Institute for Energy Studies podcast. My name is David Ledesma, and I'm a Senior Research Fellow at the Institute. Today I'm joined by Dr. Anouk Honoré, Senior Research Fellow at the Natural Gas Programme at the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies, to discuss what's going on in the Groningen gas field in the Netherlands. In May 2017, Anouk authored a paper, The Dutch Gas Market, Trials and Tribulations and Trends, and she's currently looking at the changes taking place in the gas supply from the Groningen gas field. Anouk, great to have you here. We're here in a kind of snowy Oxford as we record this. So why don't we start by talking about where Dutch gas production sits in the Dutch and the European gas supply balance. How important is it?
It's fairly important. Using the IEA statistics, therefore looking at OECD Europe, which includes Norway, the Netherlands are the second largest producer in Europe and also the second largest exporter of gas in Europe. We don't have the latest data for 2017, we're still missing December data, but roughly it will be around 18% of the European production that will come from the Netherlands. This is a really sharp decline from 32% share just 4 years ago. The major explanation was a rapid decline of the production from the Groningen gas field.
So what's happened to the Groningen gas field then?
The Groningen gas field is located onshore in the north of the country. There has been lots of tremors linked to the production of gas mm-hmm. from the field, and there's been a clear link between the production and the earth tremors since the early 1990s. These have become a lot more frequent and more intense since the late 2000s, and there's been a major earthquake in 2012, major meaning 3.6 on the Richter scale, and it was essentially a game changer.
It certainly was. It sounds like 2012 was a key date. You know, how bad was it?
It was very bad. First, talking about, of course, major consequences for the people living in Groningen. Mm-hmm. It is believed that maybe 30,000 buildings were damaged.
30,000?
30,000. And that goes from cracks, mm-hmm. simple cracks, to actually houses that were inhabitable without having some major work done. Luckily, no serious physical injuries have been reported. So that was the first major consequence, of course. Mm-hmm. The second consequence at the country level was that there has been a very important press coverage of the situation, and that has risen the awareness of the rest of the population of what was happening. And the quakes in Groningen have started to be seen not just as a potential damage to the buildings, but also as a possible threat to the safety of the people living in Groningen.
So I imagine this has become, you know, quite political. So who are the interested parties in this?
Well, you have to bear in mind that the natural gas in the Netherlands has been at the cornerstone of the Dutch economy for about half a century, and the revenues derived from the gas extraction have been very significant. There's actually no other product that has earned the state so much as natural gas. So mm-hmm. it has been an economic issue, a very important economic issue. Mm-hmm. But now, with the people's safety in Groningen, it has, of course, become a major political issue. Mm-hmm. So there's many parties interested. Of course, the local government, the municipalities, the private citizens in Groningen are part of all the discussions. But most interestingly is probably the report that was published by the Dutch Safety Board in 2015, mm-hmm. Which looked at the decision-making process in the gas extraction of Groningen from the early days until 2014, and very clearly concluded that NAM, which is the operator of the field and is also a 50-50 joint venture between Royal Dutch Shell and Exxon, mm-hmm. That NAM and the Dutch government both ignored the danger of the earthquakes caused by the extraction of the gas in Groningen, and that happened since the early days until 2013.
So I assume, therefore, that that's the reason for the production caps being implemented.
Absolutely. Since January 2014, there have been annual caps, maximum limit of the for the Groningen gas production, and this was done in order to improve the safety of the local population. The latest mm-hmm. plan that we have to date was for the gas year 2017-2018, mm-hmm. And it was set at 21.6 BCM for an average year. And there was an extra allowance of 5.4 BCM in case of a very cold year. That's much lower annual volumes that we used to have, mm-hmm. but that's also a limitation on the fluctuation, as the production had to be kept rather flat mm-hmm. All along the year.
So I imagine, are these production cuts political or technical in nature?
Well, the Groningen gas field is a mature field, so the decline of its production was expected and actually had been anticipated. But these caps that have been set since 2014 are very different, and they are essentially political decisions.
Right, okay. There have been downward revisions?
There have been several downward revisions since 2014. The major problems with the quakes and the production of gas from the Groningen gas field, it's that we do not know what kind of level of production there will be, if you want, an earthquake-proof level. So
right.
There is a lack even of consensus towards the safe level of production.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, it's very much a learning process to understand what sort of link there is between the level of production and the influence that will have on the operation of the quakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very much also a difference between the aggregate level of production in Groningen mm-hmm. and also what happens in the individual clusters, which may have different response to the level of their production.
Absolutely. Now, I've heard the expression code orange and red. What are those?
Well, as I understand, there's actually three levels. There's
okay.
code green, code orange, and code red, which classify the level of the likelihood of earthquakes, the intensity, and the potential level of damage. The objective being, of course, to be in a code green situation, the highest level of safety for the inhabitants, and the code red would actually trigger a reaction from the authorities to change the level of production
right.
in one cluster.
I understand. Okay. But so tell me, how about the kind of approach taken by the system operator? What's happened there?
Well, there's two things really happening. First of all, the state supervision of mines, if I may start with them.
Yes, please do.
The state supervision of mines actually makes scenarios and calculate the risks which should be reasonable, with reasonable certainty
mm-hmm.
to ensure safety. Because it's not really possible to accurately determine the at which production level the code green
mm-hmm.
Will be met, the state supervision of mines makes these scenarios and then advises the government.
They tell the government. Okay, yep.
The system operator,
mm-hmm.
GTS, also advises the government, but takes a different approach. It actually complements the advice from the state supervision of mines.
Mm-hmm.
What GTS does is also builds up scenarios, but by looking at what sort of demand for the Groningen gas field there will be in the months to come, in the years to come, and then advise the government on which level of production would ensure the security of supply of these customers.
Okay, so who sets the caps? You know, it certainly can't be easy.
It's not easy. At the end of the day, it is the Minister of Economic Affairs and Climate that does decide and does publish an annual cap
mm-hmm.
for the production. The gas year for the production at Groningen.
Okay. Well, okay, so now we've talked to the past, but of course 2018 seen more earthquakes. You know, what's happened?
Well, there's been more earthquake. The government has to play a game between ensuring the safety of the Groningen area,
absolutely.
But also ensuring that there will be enough gas to meet the demand for the Groningen gas.
Absolutely.
And that represents potentially millions of customers, by the way.
Yep, yep.
So what happened this year, even after all the caps that we've seen since 2014,
mm-hmm.
there has been a very strong earthquake at the beginning of January, 3.4 on the Richter scale, which is the second largest since 2012. And that again triggered a code red situation.
Right.
It occurred close to the Loposum region, which is 22 kilometers in the northeast of Groningen.
Yep.
And this cluster, this special cluster, was shut down at the beginning of February. We were back to code green, but
mm-hmm.
later in February there were three more quakes.
Three
more, two in the Loposum
wow.
region,
okay.
and we are back in the code orange situation. They were not as strong as the January one,
mm-hmm.
but it's still important to note that 23 quakes higher than 1.5 on the Richter scale happened over the last year. So it actually, at the moment, we're both because of the activity rate and the earthquake density, we
mm-hmm.
are very close to being to code red again.
Gross, it is serious. Okay, well, it's interesting because I read that the State Supervision of Mines has recently made a statement, and what I thought I'd do is just read that out. A major intervention is necessary in order to probably meet the safety standard and to reduce the risk of damage, Despite our inability to predict accurately what earthquakes will occur at which level of production, we advise the minister to reduce the gas production as soon as possible to a maximum production level of 12 BCMA. The uncertainties in this assessment are large. We therefore choose to be on the conservative side. After all, it concerns, as you said earlier on, the safety of the inhabitants of Groningen. Now, this 12 BCM cap seems very low. Now, what's been the impact of this statement, and what is the gas requirement within the Netherlands?
I think it's a major statement.
It certainly is, yes.
Well, first of all, it highlights the degree of uncertainty to predict the safe level of production. Second, it advises on a safety limit that is much, much lower than what was decided even for this year, for the gas year 2017-2017. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, talking about this production plan for this year, it was annulled in November 2017 by the Council of State. Mm-hmm. So we will expect, we will have a new plan by the end of March 2018. Mm-hmm. Whether they are going to follow as drastically as that is a question mark. But for me, what is really interesting in that statement, even more than the uncertainties being highlighted, is the sentence that says to reduce the gas production as soon as possible to a maximum level of 12 BCMA.
I agree with you, but would 12 BCMA be possible? Is it sufficient for the 2017-18 gas year? Because what, 12 BCM is about a third of the first cap level that was set in January 2014.
It is indeed, and that's the questions I usually have. So is 12 BCM enough for this year? Likely no, it won't be, but it says as soon as possible, and this is where there's a matter of discussion here. It's probably not going to be set at 12 BCM for this gas year. GTS has advised, as I understand, that between 19.6 and 21 BCM will be needed for this gas year, 2017-2018, as long as it remains an average year.
So do you think the 12 BCMA cap will actually happen?
It might likely happen in the future. You have to bear in mind that, as reminded by the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, the government has to follow the advice given by the State Supervision of Mines. And actually, the government, which was looking at the 20 BCM level of production by 2021. That's what they said when they last year after the elections. It now actually is using the same kind of words as the State Supervision of Mines and saying it is important to reduce the production as soon as possible.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But you have to bear in mind that the market for the Groningen gas is about 50 to 60 BCM. and it mostly is for residential customers.
Right.
I mean, people rely on that gas to actually heat their home in the winter. Yeah. And 12 BCM of production will most likely be problematic, at least for some time.
It certainly will be, and as we're seeing, it's pretty cold out there at the moment. But okay, but tell me, how are the gas shortfalls therefore going to be met?
Well, there's three main options. Blending, converting, and switching. Just to simplify, to make a long story short, there's two main types of natural gas in the Netherlands. The high calorific gas, which is called H-gas, and the low calorific gas, which is called L-gas or sometimes G-gas. All the households in the Netherlands and most companies and buildings do use L-gas that is produced in the Groningen gas field, while large industrial users use H-gas. Now, G-gas essentially comes from Groningen, and it is possible to mix it with H-gas, which can come from smaller fields or from imports. You can blend it, this H-gas, with nitrogen at four existing ballasting facilities in the country and create some G-gas. And both of these operations would actually create the gas with the same specs as the Groningen gas, and they call it the pseudo G-gas.
So how much additional G-gas can therefore be created on an annual basis?
Well, at the moment, by mixing different sort of gas, you can create about 10 to 11 BCMA.
Right.
And by using the ballasting facility, it adds 19 to 23 BCMA of potential creation of G-gas. Just to give you an idea, in 2016, there were about 23.4 BCM of pseudo G-gas that was created, and that was up from zero in 2010.
So, okay, but are there any other options then?
There is. Well, the other logical option is actually to switch your system and your customers to using H-gas instead of using L-gas.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a longer term solution, isn't
it? Much longer term solution, yeah. Much more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's no other solutions really available.
Yeah. No, what they're looking at, it's under discussion. Instead of having a cap for an average year that you could increase instead of a cold year, the other option would be looking at a minimum production that could happen during a warm year, because at the moment, even if you have a warm year, you still get allowed to produce as if it was an average year.
Right.
So maybe for a warm year, you would need much less gas. What I've read is that GTS estimates that you may need roughly 14 BCMA of production from Groningen to supply the customers in case of a very warm year, plus these other options of blending and mixing, of course, to add into it.
Yeah, so the weather's a factor there. Well, why don't we talk about the wider impact of the cuts? So I expect really the fundamental question is, can Dutch gas supplier GasTerra meet its contractual obligations? You know, how many customers could potentially be affected?
This is just my own views, but my answer would be yes. I do think GasTerra expects to meet its contractual obligations. And actually, there's no indication that it will not.
Right.
As I understand, the company is maintaining discussion with its customers about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's three main markets outside of the Netherlands that have developed some of their infrastructure to accommodate Groningen gas quality. These are Germany, France and Belgium.
Right.
These importing countries have elected to convert their systems and their customers' appliances to run on H-gas. This is a conversion that they had envisaged anyway, because their contractual commitments mostly would have ended in the 2020s, and they were not expecting to have the contracts renewed. So that this is a conversion that they had expected, but they may have to move things along, and this will have to happen much faster.
Mm-hmm.
This is an already very ambitious timing, but it is underway. In terms of the number of customers, it's between 7 and 8 million of customers in Germany, France, and Belgium, and that represents roughly 30 BCM of Groningen gas, so imports from the Netherlands to these countries to supply these customers. And if you add this to the Dutch demand, it's another 7 million customers and about 25 BCM of gas.
Wow, so it's nearly 15 million customers in Northern Europe are going to be affected. And I also imagine that it's not necessarily an easy task to blend, as well as it being expensive.
I agree.
Yeah, interesting. Well, of course, you know, Groningen gas is not the only gas field in the Netherlands. You know, can some of the others replace the lost Groningen gas?
It's not the only field. It's certainly the largest one, but it's not the only field. There's about 250 or more than that small fields in the Netherlands, both onshore and offshore. They were developed with a view actually to prolong the life of the Groningen gas field. And they still represented about 20 BCM in aggregate in 2016.
Right.
But they're also in decline. And they are essentially H-gas, contrary to the gas extracted from Groningen, which is L-gas.
Yeah, and of course we talked about the quality issue a few minutes ago. Well, the other thing, of course, is that Groningen brings a huge flexibility to the market, you know. How's that been impacted?
Well, the supply the situation in the winters has become much tighter, of course, since the Groningen gas field, but also the production in the small fields are increasingly not able to provide large winter flexibility. We do know that the Groningen gas field has been the winter supplier, swing supplier in Europe, and it cannot act as such at the moment. The seasonal demand has been met thanks to the Norge storage, which is operated by NAM, the same operator as the Groningen gas field.
Yep.
And that storage is filled with Groningen gas.
Mm-hmm.
So it does help in the fluctuation. Even if we keep the Groningen gas extraction relatively flat throughout the year, the fluctuations have been allowed thanks to the Norge storage.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 5 BCM of working gas capacity. Mm-hmm. And there's also the conversion facilities that I've mentioned.
Yep.
To convert H-gas to L-gas. And of course, this can come from the small fields, but also imports or other types of storage, such as the Bergermeer storage that has been open since 2015.
Exactly. Well, look, why don't we finish up by talking about the impact of the Groningen cuts on the European gas balance as a whole. Has the market expected the loss of gas and therefore found alternative sources of supply?
Well, as I mentioned, the Groningen gas field, but also the smaller fields, are mature, and the country was expecting the natural decline of its resources. So as a result, the Netherlands have anticipated this decline and they've prepared for the transition to a net gas importer situation.
Right.
The country's idea was to establish itself as the gas roundabout in Northwest Europe, which is in a sense the idea of a gas hub, a central position for transportation, transit, trade and storage. It already had an extensive gas network, so it really made sense to do that.
Yep.
And in addition to that, the government has invested several billions of euros to develop additional infrastructure in the country and also interconnections with other countries. And that's, of course, not even mentioning the creation of the TTF since 2003, and which is now the number one hub in Europe.
Remarkable that it is, isn't it? Okay, so I think the logic then is to say, you know, will the Netherlands become a net gas importer or has it already?
Well, arguably, yes, it has. On a monthly basis, the country became a net importer for the first time in its history in May 2015. Now, if we look on the annual basis, the latest National Energy Outlook, which was published in November last year, expected the country to become a net importer by 2025. Interestingly, the National Energy Outlook that was published in 2016, so just a year before, was expecting that switch to happen in the early 2030s. But with the revision of the Groningen caps and all the uncertainties, this has been brought forward. My personal opinion is that probably it will happen in the early 2020s, if not before.
That's quite remarkable, isn't it, when you think? Yeah. And it's 10 years earlier. You know, with the impacts. Well, look, you know, the lesson, of course, is, you know, to talk about, you know, security of supply. You know, does the reduction of Dutch gas production mean that Europe will need to import more gas from Russia?
Well, if we start with demand, if the demand remains flat or even continues to increase slightly at the European level, being driven, as we've seen, by the economic recovery and some replacement of coal in the power sector, then, of course, additional gas supply will be needed. Especially if you put that in perspective with the rest of the indigenous production of conventional gas in Europe, which is also in decline or will be in decline in the 2020s. So as a result, the net imports will increase in the 2020s and maybe beyond in the 2030s. So yes, additional external imports will need to rise. And considering the options available to Europe, it will most likely mean more imports of Russian gas.
Well, Anouk, you know, thank you very much for your time. You know, I have to say, I've really enjoyed the conversation. I didn't realise the extent of the impact of these cuts in Groningen, not only on European gas, but also on the Dutch economy itself. And, you know, it certainly told me what's happening in the Netherlands gas supply at the moment, and builds upon your 2017 paper, The Dutch Gas Market, Trials and Tribulations and Trends, that, may I remind you, can be found at our website, www.oxfordenergy.org, where you can also find all our podcasts in the multimedia folder and other papers published by the Institute. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, and thank you and goodbye to everyone.